him. Tonight in the book of Joshua, all throughout Joshua, we see the faithfulness of God. We see where God was following through with his covenant. He was being faithful. And God is faithful even when we are not. Amen. Our God is always faithful. God is faithful to be there with us as we walk life's path. He has set before us. Tonight we will see how Joshua began to walk with the path set before him, and he was able to do it with confidence. He was able to do it being strong and courageous. As we study, we're going to be looking tonight at Joshua 1, verses 10 through 18. And I want you to pay attention as we're working through this, how and how many times Joshua points the Israelites to God and not himself. Because that's the key that we need to understand in God's faithfulness. It's all about God. It's not about us. It wasn't about Joshua, but he was pointing them to God. And Joshua used a speech that we're going to see here to motivate and to encourage the people of Israel. And we have seen this pattern happen throughout history. Before battles, there would be great leaders that would use speeches to encourage their people, to help them to stand strong. And I want to share a couple of them with you, and maybe the last one I'm going to read to you. These are just portions of them, but the last one I'll read to you and see if maybe you remember who it was. But I'll give you the first two. On June the 14th, 1800, General Napoleon Bonaparte was firing up his forces before the battle at Marengo in Italy. And listen to what he told them. "Shall we allow our audacious enemies to violate with impunity the territory of the Republic? Will you permit the army to escape, which has carried terror into your families? You will not. March then to meet them. Tear from his brow the laurels he has won. Teach the world that a malicious attendance, those that violate the territory of the great people, the result of our efforts will be unclouded glory and durable peace." What encouragement he was giving them. This is when we're going to go fight. May the 13th, 1940, Prime Minister Winston Churchill was speaking before the House of Commons, and he said this: "We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. This is our policy." Now let me read to you the last one and give you a minute and see if you know who said this. "The path we have chosen for the present is full of hazards, as all paths are, but is the one most consistent with our character and courage as a nation and as our commitments around the world. The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, and this is the post of surrender or submission. Our goal is not the victory of might, but the vindication of right. Not peace at the exception of freedom, but both peace and freedom here in the hemisphere, and we hope around the world. God willing, the goal will be achieved. Give you a help. October the 22nd, 1962. Was said by President John F. Kennedy, bracing the nation for the Cuban Missile Crisis. So we see this pattern even carried on today. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is Joshua's speech, his encouragement, his command to the people. And I want us to look through this at three steps that are involved in moving forward in the faithfulness of God. Remember last week, we talked about Joshua and the Israelite nation come to a crisis in their life, and they were going to have to move forward. Doesn't mean you move on. You're not forgetting. You're not leaving behind, but we continue to go forward even when it's difficult. And we can do it through the faithfulness of Christ. And that's what the whole book of Joshua is looking at. And this first chapter is covering the idea of the faithfulness of God to reveal new beginnings. Moses has died. The people has been brought out of bondage. They've wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. There's a new beginning for them. Amen. Are you glad that we get new beginnings in life? We go through difficult times and we come to new beginnings. The first I want us to see, if you'll follow there on your outline, we're going to move forward in the faithfulness of God. We have to move into action. We have to move into action. Once you've wrote that, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you, I hope you have your Bibles with you. Be sure and bring them as we're studying the Bible. We can't study it without it. But once you have filled that out and turned to Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 10, would you stand with me as I read the text that we're looking at tonight? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it.' To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the word which Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array all your valiant warriors and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan, beyond the sunrise.' They answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" Father God, for your word tonight speaks to us. And Lord, we're once again reminded to be strong and to be courageous. Father, we're reminded that you're with us. Lord, would you open our eyes tonight and help us to see you and your faithfulness, Father, so that we can instill that into our hearts and that we can live strong and courageous lives, living in the faithfulness of you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We began looking here, and if we're going to move forward, I said the first thing there is to move into action, and you can't move forward courageously if you never get into action. If you just sit there, you're not going to go anywhere. That's not rocket scientists. But it is very difficult when you're going through a transition, you're going through a crisis. It is difficult to make that first step to moving in the new direction. But we have to start. In verse 10, we see that it begins with the word "then." Then is referring to a time, and that time is after the previous verses that we looked at last week, verses 1 through 9, where God is speaking to Joshua and he's giving him a charge. God gives Joshua two commands. Look at verse 2. He tells him to arise and cross this Jordan. In verses 6, 7, and 9, Joshua is commanded to be strong and courageous. Joshua would not be able to do these things, to arise. He wouldn't be able to cross the Jordan. He wouldn't be able to lead the people and be strong and courageous if he didn't know and believe in the faithfulness of God. God also told Joshua in verse 9, "Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I hope that brings you comfort tonight. As a believer, the Lord is with you wherever you may go. We see in verse 1 that Joshua was moving into action because it says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers." Joshua had to step up, take the responsibility of leadership, and be strong and courageous and give a command to the people. Can you imagine being probably a younger man than a lot of them? And here he is taking on this new role. He has to step up and command God's people. Joshua did this in the authority of the Lord. God gave him the command. A good question here to ask is, how was Joshua able to do this? If I'm going to tell you this is what Joshua was doing, if this is what we're looking at for us, how did he do it? There's three things that he did to move into action. And that first one is meditating on God's word. He had to meditate on God's word. We don't see those actual words there, but understanding where he was, he had to let this continue to go through. He had to let it soak in. Joshua was able to do this by meditating on God's word of be strong and courageous. Also meditating on God's word, "For I am with you wherever you go." Meditating on God's word is very essential because what we allow to occupy our minds and our thoughts, what we focus on, will be what drives and controls us. What you're constantly thinking about doing is what you're going to end up doing. Joshua could have easily felt incapable for the task. After all, he was a new leader. The people would be going into a new territory. Instead, Joshua assumed the responsibility and held to the faithfulness of God and his promises and commands. Let me just read to you two verses. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." As Paul was writing, he says, you've got to take every thought, and you've got to put it under the submission and the authority of Christ. We've got to get rid of the stinking thinking, and we have to meditate on God's word and let that be what's there. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." We need to meditate on God's word so that it is filling our minds. We need to meditate on God's word so that God's word fills and controls every thought. Let me tell you, this world, TV, radio, books, magazines, everything is trying to fill our mind with something. And the thing that needs to be priority in our mind is God's word. If we're going to live in this life and we're going to live strong lives and courageous lives, because the world wants you to think that we're just in total disarray and that there's nowhere that we can go. But we know as believers that we have a hope. We can be strong and we can be courageous. We also see that to move into action, we have to prepare provisions. We have to prepare provisions. Joshua commanded the officers to go and tell the people, prepare provisions for themselves. In verse 11 of this chapter, we see where Joshua reads there, it says, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself." In moving forward strongly and courageously, we have to be prepared. We don't take a trip and we're not prepared. We don't most of the time get married and are not prepared. We go through things in life, and when they're success, they're prepared. Many of us might have in our day when we were younger went and took a test and wasn't prepared, and we probably didn't do very good. But if we prepare for it, then we do better. If we prepare for our trip, the trip works out. But he also, in that verse 11, gave the command to prepare and gave a time frame. You see there, for 3 days, for within 3 days, then they're going to move. Why did Joshua use that? Very possibly because that word would have been reminiscent to some of those that were there. Because when Moses was their leader and he was leading them out of Egypt, they came to Mount Sinai and he used those same words. If you want to turn in your Bibles back to Exodus, Genesis, Exodus 19. Look at verse 11. The Lord is speaking with Moses, and in verse 11, "And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." And look at verse 15. Moses relays that information, and he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day." We need to be in preparation. We need to be ready. We need to prepare for this, have our provisions ready. God calls us to move forward. God calls us to fight this battle of life, this battle between our flesh and our soul. I'm sure you're like me. There is a battle that's going on all the time. Scripture tells us the battle is not against the things we see. It's against the things that we don't see. Well, how are we to do this? How are we to do this battle between the flesh and the soul, the world we live in versus the kingdom we belong to? Joshua told them to prepare provisions for yourself. Joshua very well might have had in mind to prepare yourself mentally. But you know, when I think of provisions, I think of food, I think of water, and I think of clothing. And I also believe that's what Joshua was telling them, to get ready to move forward in God's faithfulness, to be strong and courageous. They needed to be ready. We need food and water and clothing for battle. Just as Joshua pointed the people to God, we need to find our provisions in God. And remember what I say the three things provisions were: food, water, and clothing. Listen to what Scripture has to say about that. What about our food? John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." See, the substance we need for our spiritual lives comes from Jesus. He is our salvation. He is the one who nourishes our body. Also in Matthew 4:4, Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament passage, and he says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So what is our food? What is our nourishment for our bodies? But it's Jesus. It's the word of God and who Jesus is. I told you there was water. John 7, verses 37 through 38. "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" Jesus is the living water. We need Jesus. We need, in our dry times of spiritual life, we need Jesus. We find Jesus in the Bible, God's Word, and we need to turn to the Holy Spirit to fill us with His power and His presence. That's where the water comes from. We need to be prepared for the battle. We need to have food. We need to have water. And we need to have clothing for the battle. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We talk about the armor of God. If we're going to go into battle, we're looking at clothing as provision. We need this, and I believe we need this clothing put on every day. I'll admit there's a lot of days that go by that I don't, but I try to remember to daily put it on. What is this clothing? It tells us there in those verses, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. it says to gird your loins with truth. I'm going to give you the seven parts of this armor and then briefly talk about them. We've done this before. The breastplate of righteousness says to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel and peace. To pick up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit in prayer and petition. We need to gird the loin. That's the center. That's like a belt putting on, and we need to put on truth. And all of these things are in Jesus. They're who Jesus are. The center of our armor needs to be truth. The truth of Jesus Christ. The truth holds everything else together. If Jesus isn't the truth, and if we're not living in truth, then none of this other armor is going to work. That's why I believe he begins with that, to put that on. And then he says, take the breastplate of righteousness. Guess what? I don't have any righteousness in and of myself. Jesus is our righteousness. We need to take that righteousness every day and think about it and put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that cover? It covers our chest. It covers our heart, who we are. The heart of who we are gets covered in righteousness of Christ. It says to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number one, I believe we need the peace of Jesus Christ in us. Amen. But we're shodding our feet, which means it's going where we go. We need to take the peace with us, the gospel of peace, but we also need to be peace bearers and live out this peace before others. It says, take up the shield of faith that blocks all those fiery darts. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus. We take up our faith knowing what? That God is faithful. Then we're able to move through. We know that we're forgiven in faith. We're forgiven through there. So when Satan tries to accuse us, we're already forgiven. The fifth said there, the helmet of salvation. What is that? It goes over our mind. Our salvation is in who? It's in Jesus and Jesus alone and no other. We take that helmet of salvation who changes us at salvation. We put it at what? Over our minds. And we allow this salvation to become a new person. Our thoughts need to be different. Oftentimes when I'm praying this, I think of probably a little bit different helmet then, but the helmet of a knife that went in. And I ask God for it to protect my mind, but let it protect my ears. Let my salvation protect my eyes and my mouth. Because we're different people. And then it says there to pick up that sword of the Spirit, God's Word. It's called the Rhema there. It's not the Logos. The Logos is Word in general, but the Rhema is the spoken Word. This is God's spoken Word. But we need to meditate, as we've talked about, on God's Word so that it's in us. Why do we want the sword? The sword is what? It's one of the only ones used for actual combat and battle. What did Jesus do when he went into the wilderness and he was tempted? He quoted Scripture. We need to take up the sword. It needs to be in us. God's Word needs to be in us. We talk about in Bible school as children, VBS, God's Word hidden in my heart. Why is it? Well, Holy Spirit can't bring it for us to use if it's not in us. When we're tempted, we can quote Scripture. When we're down, we can quote Scripture. When we're tired, we can quote Scripture. And the seventh, the last piece is prayer and petition. We have a direct line. I like to use the word sometimes. We have the red telephone on the president's desk directly to God. We can pray directly to him. We don't have to go through anybody else. We don't have to wait anybody else. We don't have to do that. Thank you for calling heaven. If you want this in English, dial 1. If you want it in whatever, dial this. Thank you for calling. You'll be next in line. You got 25-minute wait. No, when we talk, God's right there. God answers and listens directly. All of these are in Jesus, and we must prepare with them. And I love how it gives us 7. You know what the number 7 represents? Anytime you see 7 in the Bible, it's representing completion. 7 days of the week. We see that all throughout there. And third, if we're going to move into action, we need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. Reminded of God's faithfulness. If we're going to move forward and live strong and courageous, we need to be reminded of God and His faithfulness. See, God had made a covenant with Abraham and passed it down to Isaac and down to Jacob. We've seen that over the last several Sundays. God had made a promise to Moses, all to take His people and give them the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. Look at the end of verse 2. Joshua points the people to God. Not to verse 2, the end of verse 11. It says, "Go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it." The Lord your God is giving. Not me. I'm not giving it to you. It's not our mighty power that's going to do it. It's nothing but God that's giving them the land, and He's pointing them in that direction. And we can live strong and courageous when we're following God, when we know we're within His will. It's not Joshua doing it. Joshua's not sending them over there. It's God. We need to be reminded of God's faithfulness and promises. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We need to step out of just living, and we need to live strong and courageous and live our lives abundantly in Christ. If Jesus said the enemy came to kill and steal, and He came to give us life, but not just life, to give it abundant, why in the world would you or I want to be satisfied for just living? Why are we content with just being when God came so that we could live abundantly? Secondly, we need to remember the commitment and the cost. Remember the commitment and the cost. The second thing there is to be reminded of our commitment to Christ and the cost of following Christ. Look at verses 12 through 15. It says, "To the Reubenite and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array and all your valiant warriors and shall keep them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as He gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise.'" What we have to understand here is God is bringing the Israelites out of what? Egypt. They were in bondage. He brought them to the land of Canaan. They refused to go in and take it, so they had to then wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And now here they have, under the leadership of Moses again, come back to the edge of the land of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land God swore to their fathers to give them on the other side of the Jordan. And you have, I'll say, a couple of stubborn tribes. You have the tribe of Gad and Reuben, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Remember the 12 sons of Israel, or the 12 tribes? You have these tribes come and say, "You know, Moses, I know we're here getting ready to cross over into the promised land, but we like this area on the other side of the Jordan, beyond the Jordan, and we just want to stay here." You can look back in Scripture, this angered Moses. God has brought them all this way, is giving them this great land, and now you have some who want to stay out here. And probably, I think it talks about in there that, you know, Moses was thinking they just wanted to settle there. The only way that Moses agreed to it is that the men would have to cross over with the rest of Israel, go in and to help take care of, to help possess the land that God was giving them. Once that was done, then they could come back and they could fight. You see, this was not part of God's original plan. They are separating the 12 tribes of Israel into two different territories. In Moses' anger, he agreed to it. So now here we see that Joshua is reminding them that they made a commitment. You made a promise, you made a commitment, and there's a cost to that. And we see there the first thing is the commitment. Joshua once again points them to the Lord in verse 13. Joshua tells them, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land.'" Verse 14, "But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array all your valiant warriors and shall keep them." And in 15, again, "Until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." Joshua reminds him, and we need to be reminded of our commitment to God. God saved us. Joshua is reminding them that you made the commitment. You made the agreement that you're going to go through, you're going to help your brothers. And then they would be able to return. But we also see there to count the cost. Joshua reminded them of the cost. Look at verse 14. This would have been hard for me. "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross over and fight. And then they can return." Not only were they to be reminded that they had to leave everything behind, they would fight in battle until the land that the Lord was giving them was acquired. Listen to this if you want to jot it down in there somewhere. Luke 14, verses 28 through 33. "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough when 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all of his own possessions." We have to count the cost. We also read Matthew 16, 24 through 26. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" We have to be reminded of our commitment to follow Christ, our commitment to allow him to be Lord and Savior. We have to be reminded also of the cost that it takes. And third, in wrapping up, we got to affirm the commitment. We have to affirm the commitment.
The third
one you said, right? Yeah. Roman number 3, affirm the commitment. Did I get you lost on there somewhere? Yeah, go to Roman number 3, and then we'll go back and fill in the others when we're finished, in case you forgot. Roman number 3, affirm the commitment. The people reaffirmed their commitment to follow Joshua as he followed God. They reaffirmed their commitment to obey Joshua's commands. that were coming to the Lord, and that they would go and fight with the rest of Israel. Listen to the people spoke their affirmation. The number one under Roman numeral 3 is to go and do. Go and do. Verse 16 and 17 we read, "They answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses.'" The Israelites were able to move forward strong and courageously, moving forward and trusting in the faithfulness of God, because they knew that God had been with Moses. They had seen it. All these who are standing here today, with the exception of two, had all seen and lived through what God had did. They had grown up. They were born during the 40-year travel in the wilderness. A few of them were already born. Not many before then. They would have been very young. So their entire life, they've seen God being faithful. They've seen God using Moses. So now they're saying, "God's with you. We're going to go and we're going to do what you say. We're going to follow everything that you command us to do." They knew that Moses had ordained Joshua, and now Joshua was their leader under the direction of God. And they would do everything that were commanded, and wherever they were commanded to go. And then we see there where they had the consequences of rebellion. That's your last number two. Consequences of rebellion. The group assured Joshua of their loyalty to him and God. In verse 17, we see that they agreed to obey Joshua just as they agreed to obey Moses in all things. Then we move down to verse 18 and we read, "Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death." They were affixing the punishment for a rebellion, and they were committed to obey and sticking to their word to go before their brothers and fight. Let's look at us, though. We don't have death because we disobey God. Today, God's given us life. We don't lose our salvation because we're disobedient. But I do believe that if we are disobedient, as if they would have been disobedient and not gone to fight, we can miss out on the rest that God offers. We can miss out on the vibrant life that God wants us to have. We can miss out being used by God. We don't lose our salvation. But I do believe that we come to a point that if we just continue to refuse to obey, there's a consequence. And that's where God takes us out of action and he sits us up on a shelf until he's ready to bring us home. We can live in turmoil here on earth because we refuse to obey. And there's times that we have to take up that cross. We have to take up who we are, our mission before God, and we have to follow through with that so that God can use us. If we live in sin and rebellion against God, then he's not able to work through us and use us. But God is faithful to reveal to us new beginnings. And we can move forward in this life as a believer with the understanding, I've said it 100 times, what? God is faithful. I believe we see through Scripture oftentimes in other places of be strong and courageous. We need to be strong and courageous because we're in a battle. Do you notice that over in verse 6, it begins with be strong and courageous, and at the end of verse 18, it ends with be strong and courageous. A very unique thing in Hebrew writing is they will begin and end like bookmarkers, usually saying the same thing. Sometimes we don't see it as much in the English because of how we translate, but we see it very clear here. And we would say, because it's 1, 2, 3, 4 times in here, be strong and be courageous. May you bow your heads. Father God, thank you for your love. Father, thank you for being with us. Lord God, I just pray now that you would help us, Father, to be reminded of your faithfulness, to live within your faithfulness, to live strong and courageous in the new beginnings in our life. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.